All right. Here is today's topic. Is the Bible really God's word? All right, the end. Yes, the answer is yes, the Bible really is God's word, but I'm going to furnish your mind with some facts to help solidify the truth that the Bible is God's word today. All right? Let me start off with this little story about a new minister was asked to teach a boys' class in the absence of the regular teacher. Okay? He decided to see what they knew, so he asked, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" All the boys denied having done it. And the preacher was appalled by their ignorance. At the next deacon's meeting, he told about the experience. "Not one of them knows who knocked down the walls of Jericho," he lamented. The group was silent until finally one seasoned veteran of dispute spoke up. "Preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot. But I've known all those boys since they were born, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't know, I believe them. So let's just take some money out of the repair and maintenance fund, fix the walls, and let it go at that." Some people don't know their Bibles very well. In fact, there was a Gallup poll conducted years ago that revealed that 60% of Americans did not know what the Holy Trinity was. 66% couldn't say who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And 79% were unable to name a single Old Testament prophet. Isn't that terrible? Some are almost as confused as the little boy who wrote on a test paper, "The epistles were the wives of the apostles, and Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife." Now, some of you are chuckling because you know your Bibles. Some of you aren't chuckling because you didn't think it was funny. Some of you aren't chuckling because you don't know your Bibles. I believe every Christian should own a red Bible. You can just let that one brew for a little bit. It'll catch up with you. So let's talk today about how did we get the Bible? How did we get the Bible, okay? And it starts with this. The Bible is inspired by God. That's where it all starts. It says it about itself in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but listen, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So the Scripture was inspired by God. And that means it was the Holy Spirit's supernatural guidance of those who received special revelation from God as they wrote the books of the Bible. The end result of this inspiration is that the Bible conveys the truths which God wanted his people to know and to communicate to the world. The Bible is inspired by God. But there's more. Let me just give you some background facts. The Bible is made up of 66 books that were written over about 1,600-year period, okay, spread out over a long time. More than 40 kings, prophets, leaders, and followers of Jesus contributed in writing the Bible that we have. The Old Testament was written mainly in Hebrew with some Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. The books of the Bible were collected and arranged and recognized as inspired sacred authority by councils of rabbis and councils of church leaders based on careful guidelines. So this was not just randomly, "Hey, let's throw some stuff together and hope it's a good book." It was very carefully selected. Before the printing press was invented, the Bible was copied by hand, and the Bible was copied very accurately, in many cases by special scribes who developed intricate methods of counting words and letters to ensure that no errors had been made. Okay? So it is not like the telephone game. You know what the telephone game is? In fact, we just did this in our small group not too long ago, where somebody whispers a message to somebody, and then it gradually works its way around the room until the last person says what they think the message is. In a room of less than 20 people, it was not the same message at all. Okay, who's played the telephone game before? You know what I'm talking about, okay? The Bible is not like that, although some people think it is. And so since the Bible was written 2 and 3,000 years ago, people think, how could we possibly be sure we have the what was originally written today? Because the telephone game is a good example of how things can get so jumbled up. But let me tell you why we're so sure that we have what God wanted us to have. When they wrote the scriptures out, and they were making copies to be passed on, each column of writing had to have between 48 and 60 lines. The parchment had to be lined on the sides. If three words were beyond the margin lines, the entire copy was condemned. No word or letter was to be written from memory. The scribe had to have an authentic copy right there with him, and he had to read out loud each word before he wrote it down. There were special rules for the formation of the letters, the space between the letters, and the type of pen used, and the color of the parchment. The manuscripts had to be checked within 30 days of completion. A single mistake would condemn a whole page. Just one mistake on a page and they'd throw that page out, start over. If three mistakes were found in a page, they threw out the whole manuscript and started over. Each word and letter was to be counted. If one letter was omitted or added, or one letter touched another, the manuscript was to be completely destroyed. Are you getting the picture? There is a ton of evidence that the Bible we have today is remarkably true to the original writings. There were thousands of copies made by hand before the year 1500, and there's more than 5,300 Greek manuscripts from the New Testament alone that still exist today. The text of the Bible is better preserved than the writings of Caesar, Plato, and Aristotle, and really many more. The Bible is much more reliable and trustworthy than that. In fact, in the 1940s, there was a discovery, some of you know this, of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it had some copies of the Old Testament, and it proved the astonishing reliability of the copies that we have. The Dead Sea Scrolls had the same stuff in it. Amazing. Okay? Now, I put together a little booklet that is available out at the Information Center for you, How We Got the Bible. If you'd like to have a copy for yourself, it details some of these things I've just shared and more to help you understand just how reliable our Bible is. We really have God's Word. Now, here's some more reasons to trust the reliability of the Bible. The Bible is remarkably unified. Again, 66 books written in different literary styles, using 40 different authors with diverse backgrounds. It was written over a time period of 1,600 years, and yet it contains one central message. Very unified. And God willing, next week I'll elaborate on that one single message. Norman Geisler says, there's more evidence that the Bible is a reliable source than there is for any other book from the ancient world. The Bible is reliable. Here's another reason we can trust the Bible. It has transforming power. Can I get a witness right here from somebody who can say, yeah, the Bible has changed my life? And it's banned in some places of the world because even though they don't like it, they know that it changes people. So they ban it. There's power in the Word of God. There's also archaeological evidence. There's thousands of archaeological finds in the Middle East that support the biblical record. Just for example, every reference to an Assyrian king listed in the Bible has been found to be true. Here's another one. There were records of the Hittites found in modern Turkey not all that long ago. The Hittites were previously thought to be an unknown, made-up nation from the Bible. But they've actually found archaeological evidence that the Hittites really existed. The Bible knew it all along. The Bible is also trustworthy because of the prophecies that have been fulfilled. It's the only book in the world that has precise, specific predictions that were made hundreds of years in advance and that were literally fulfilled. Okay? I've heard of Nostradamus. Some of you have heard of Nostradamus as well. But if you've ever read any of his stuff, it's pretty generic and it's kind of fuzzy. And yet people read that and say, oh, he was talking about the Twin Towers and all, you know. Okay, fine. But the Bible is very precise. 191 predictions in the Old Testament regarding the coming of Christ. In the Old Testament, it was written hundreds of years before Christ ever came on the scene. People were writing about a Messiah that would come. In fact, in Daniel chapter 9, if you do the math, the passage pinpoints when Jesus would enter human history. You can actually do the math, and it comes out right. Norman Geisler says, when it has been proven to be accurate over and over again in hundreds of details, the burden of proof is on the critic, not on the Bible. Because the Bible has been proven over and over again to be accurate and reliable. Ronald Reagan, he said, I never had any doubt about it being of divine origin. Point out to me any similar collection of writings that has lasted for as many thousands of years and is still a bestseller worldwide. It had to be of divine origin. The Bible is the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and active. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. People have been trying for centuries to show the Bible as a fraud, and they can't do it. In fact, the more research they do, the more they find that it's accurate. Billy Graham says, its critics who claimed it to be filled with forgery, fiction, and unfulfilled promises are finding that the difficulties lie with themselves and not the Bible. Greater and more careful scholarship has shown that apparent contradictions were caused by incorrect translations rather than divine inconsistencies. It was man and not the Bible that needed correcting. The Bible is the blueprint of the master architect. The Bible is the Word of God, and there's a lot of evidence outside of the Bible to confirm that it really is God's Word. So how should we respond then? If this really is God's Word, how should we respond? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to get it in us. We need to consume it. Amy Carmichael says this, never let good books replace the Bible. Drink from the well, not from the streams that flow from the well. You know, I got nothing against reading other books. In fact, I do a lot of reading. But make sure you're going to the main source regularly. It's like bread for our daily use, not just cake for special occasions. D.L. Moody said, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Christian Johnson says, a Bible that's falling apart probably belongs to someone who isn't. Falling apart, that is. Okay? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let it dwell in you richly. There's a story of a man who said he had received no inspiration from the Bible, although he had gone through it several times. Let it go through you once, replied his friend, then you'll tell a different story. Let it dwell in you. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after having looked at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Don't just listen to the word. Do what it says and consistently get it in you over and over again. You know, knowing the Bible is of little benefit unless you practice it. There are atheists that can quote the Bible. They know the Bible. The devil knows the Bible. We need to do what it says. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to get it in us. James 1, 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now that's interesting. Because, you know, a popular subject is prosperity. A lot of people like to hear sermons about prosperity. Well, here's a good one. Joshua 1:8. It ended with, then you'll be prosperous and successful. But what did it start with? Meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. Okay? And meditate on the word is not one of these, you know, Eastern sort of things. It's not that. Meditate on the word is you read it and you read it and you read it and you kind of mull it over and you ask God to help you understand what it means. That's meditating on the word. And the scripture says we should do that day and night. And then we will be prosperous and successful. It's been said that God's word is like a highway sign. You don't have to pay any attention to it if you don't care what happens to you. And then here's a resume. I would like a job as tutor, teacher, and advisor to your family. I will never take a vacation. I will never be out of humor. I don't drink or smoke. I won't borrow your clothes. I won't raid your refrigerator. I'll be up in the morning as early as anyone in the household and will stay up as late as anyone wishes. I will help solve any problems your children might have. I'll give you the satisfaction of knowing that no question your children ask will go unanswered. For that matter, I will answer any of your own questions on subjects that range from how we got here to where are we headed. I'll help settle bets and differences of opinion. I'll give you information that will help you with your job, your family, and all of your other interests. In short, I'll give you the knowledge that will ensure the continued success of your family. I am your Bible. Do I get the job? So is the Bible the Word of God? The answer is yes. So we should know it in the head, stow it in the heart, sow it in the world, and show it in our life. There's a lot of evidence that tells us the Bible is God's word to us. And another popular subject that people like to hear about is God's will. What is God's will for my life? Well, he's told you a whole bunch of things that are his will for your life right in here. don't always need a special revelation from God to know what his will is, because he's already revealed a whole bunch of it right here. You want to know God's will? Read your Bible. There's God's will right there. It's a roadmap to guide us on our way. It's a compass to give us a moral direction. Some have made it into an acrostic, basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. It's God's word to us. And I want you to walk away today feeling confident that this is not just a religious idea, but there really is historical, archaeological facts that tell us this really is God's word. And I tell you what, if God himself was standing in this room and you knew it was God and he said, go do whatever, fill in the blank, would you question it? If God himself was standing here, he's already spoken right here. So let's do what it says. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I want to thank you today that there is external evidence that shows us the Bible is really from you. It's not purely a matter of faith, though we have faith. It's not only about that, but there's actually evidence that kind of strengthens our faith. It says, yeah, this is really the real deal. And God, I want to thank you that you gave us a written word, that we have something we can dig into to understand more about you and your plan for us and your plan for the entire world. Thank you, God, that you spoke your word to us and that you made sure it was preserved for us in these latter days. And God, I pray that you would help us to really embrace it as your word to us and to do what it says. Give us grace for that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week and read your Bible.